This is part B of historical proof of God's plagues on Egypt. Now we're here in Exodus 10. And the whole purpose of all of this, you see, is that so even the greatest sinner, the one who is hardest of heart, is going to know that God is God, whether they repent or not. Every knee is going to bow to Christ, says Philippians 2. This is all part of it. So let's begin right here in Exodus 10. The Lord said to Moses, "Go to Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart, the heart of his servants, that I may show these my signs before him, and that you may tell in the ears of your son and your son's sons what things I have wrought in Egypt, and my signs which I have done among them, that you may know how that I am the Lord." So they came in, Moses and Aaron, to Pharaoh, and said to him, "Thus says the Lord God of the Hebrews, how long do you refuse to humble yourself before me? Let my people go, that they may serve me. Else, if you refuse to let them go, tomorrow I will bring the locusts into all your coast." In other words, inside all the borders of your country. "And they shall cover the face of the earth, and one cannot be able to see the earth. They shall eat the residue of that which is escaped, that which remains unto you from the hail, and they shall eat every tree that grows for you out of the ground of the field. And they shall fill your houses, the houses of your servants, the houses of all the Egyptians, which neither your fathers nor your fathers' fathers have seen since the day that they were upon the earth unto this day." And he turned himself and went out from Pharaoh. So, well, God calls them signs, but you could, these are plagues. He said earlier that I will bring all my plagues upon him. So the last four, even though they are signs, are intense and fall into the category of real plagues. And he was undoubtedly referring to all the signs that had happened before up to that point, too. Okay. Now the servants began to get the point. So Pharaoh's servant said to him, "How long shall you let this man be a snare to us? Let the men go, that they may serve the Lord their God. Don't you know yet that Egypt is destroyed?" Reminds you of the last days of the Third Reich. Hitler was in the bunker, and they tried to tell him, "Don't you know Germany is destroyed?" And Moses and Aaron were brought in again unto Pharaoh, and he said to them, "Go serve the Lord your God." "But who are they that shall go?" Moses said, "We're going to go with our young, with our old, our sons, our daughters, with our flocks, our herds. We will go, for we must hold a feast unto the Lord." And he said to them, "Let the Lord be so with you as I will let you go, and your little ones. Look to it, for evil is before you." In other words, he's threatening with some kind of evil. What kind of evil is Pharaoh going to bring upon Moses? "Not so. Go now, that you that are men, not going to let you all go, but I'll let the men go. And serve the Lord, for that you did desire." And they were driven out from Pharaoh's presence. So then God said, "Stretch forth your hand, and here come the locusts." And I tell you, that's something, the way that they came. He stretched forth his rod over the land of Egypt, and God brought up an east wind upon the land all that day and all that night. And when it was morning, the east wind brought the locusts. I don't know if you've seen how the locusts swarm, but boy, they just come swarming in, just something. Now, in the harmony of the Gospels, I've got a depiction of the fig tree that Jesus cursed from two pictures, which were actually taken from a tree before locusts got on it and a tree after the locusts had eaten all the leaves. And so that's how I depicted that the tree withered. And if you look carefully at it, you'll see just a little fleck of a spot in the picture of after it was withered, and that is really a locust flying away. So everything was eaten. So they came, devoured all that was left. Verse 36, then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron in haste and said, I've sinned against the Lord your God and against you. Now therefore forgive, I pray you, my sin only this once, and entreat the Lord your God that he may take away from me this death only. So they went out, treated the Lord, took the locust, blew them into the Red Sea. Pharaoh's heart was hardened. Now here comes another plague, the third plague, which is darkness, a special kind of darkness. Now we'll see that the historical accounts written in the papyri tell us about this darkness and all of this. I'll get to this in just a few minutes here. So verse 21, Exodus 10, the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand toward heaven that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. Now, I don't know what kind that would be, but that would be a real slimy darkness, wouldn't it, huh? And Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. And they didn't see one another, neither did any rise from his place for 3 days. But all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. Pharaoh called and said, go serve the Lord. Only let your flocks and your herds be stayed. We got to have something here. And let your little ones also go with you. And Moses said, you must give us also sacrifices and burnt offerings that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. Our livestock shall also go with us. There shall not be left a hoof that is left behind, for thereof we must take to serve the Lord our God. And we don't know what we must serve the Lord until we come there. So Pharaoh's heart was hardened, that he would not let them go. And Pharaoh said unto him, get out from me. Take heed to yourself and see my face no more, for in the day that you see my face, you shall die. That takes a lot of gall, doesn't it? And Moses said, you have spoken well. You shall see my face no more. And the Lord said to Moses, chapter 11 here, I will bring yet one more plague upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. Afterwards he will let you go from here, and when he shall let you go, he shall surely thrust you out from here altogether. Speak into the ears of the children, the ears of the people, and let everyone ask of his neighbor, and every woman of her neighbor, jewels of silver, jewels of gold. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Moreover, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt, in the sight of Pharaoh's servants, in the sight of all the people. And Moses said, thus says the Lord, about midnight I will go out into the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land shall die. This is the fourth and final plague now. From the firstborn of Pharaoh that sits on the throne, even to the firstborn of the maidservant that is behind the mill, and all the firstborn of the livestock, and there shall be a great cry throughout the land of Egypt, such as was not like it, nor shall be like it any more. But against the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue against man or beast, that you may know that the Lord does put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. and all your servants shall come down to me. Because Moses never went back to Pharaoh. Bowing themselves down to me, saying, get out, and all the people that follow you, and after that I will go out. And he went out from Pharaoh in a great anger. The Lord said unto Moses, Pharaoh shall not listen to you, that I may multiply my wonders in the land of Egypt. And so they did all these wonders, and the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart. Now, let's look at our handout here, the plagues of Egypt. Now, here's an amazing document. On the original, there is a picture of the papyrus on which these things were written. And it talks about the plagues in Egypt. An Egyptian eyewitness testified to the plagues which God sent upon ancient Egypt. A sage by the name of Ipuwer, I-P-U-W-E-R, who lived during the terminal phase of the Middle Kingdom. The Ipuwer papyrus was acquired by the Museum of Leiden in the Netherlands in 1828. The text is now folded into a book of 17 pages written in Hieric signs. Full text can be found online. Now, I'm sending this to you so you can look up the website. It's too long of a website to tell you over the tape. But you can look it up and get the full translation of it. Portions of it are poorly preserved, but of the portions which have been translated by Alan B. Gardner in 1909, we have an amazing corroboration of the dramatic plagues Almighty God sent upon Egypt. As Gardner writes, it is no merely local disturbance that is described here, but a great and overwhelming national disaster. So apparently Gardner wrote a book called Admonitions. How's that for an admonition? Boy, look at all those. Even at that, the Egyptians couldn't be admonished. Now notice the incredible parallels between this document and the record of the book of Exodus. Ipuwer, I guess would be the best way to pronounce it. Ipuwer describes it as an incredible story of lamentations, ruin, and horror. His story is an Egyptian version of a great national calamity. So then it gives the papyrus and what the papyrus says. And let me just say this. The very first word there in papyrus 2:8 is forsooth. Now forsooth means truly. In other words, this is so incredible, I've got to start off by saying this is true. The land turns around as does a potter's vessel. So apparently there were a lot of earthquakes going on at the same town, same time. 2:11, the towns are destroyed. Upper Egypt has become dry. 3:13, all is ruined. The residence is overturned in a minute. Years of noise. There's no end to the noise. So I wonder how long that this, you know, there were still groanings and moanings in the earth after all this took place. The play on word noise here could only mean earthquake, as the Hebrew word ra'ash signifies both noise and earthquake. Earthquakes are often accompanied by loud, ominous sounds from the bowels of the earth, and we can attest to it from Hollister here, because almost every time there's a big earthquake, we hear a big noise first, and then, bam, the earthquake hits. Papyrus 6:1, oh, that the earth would cease from noise and tumult, that is, uproar, be no more. Now the plague of blood. Notice the amazing parallel. Exodus 7:21, there was blood throughout all the land of Egypt. Papyrus 2:5-6, the plague is throughout all the land. Blood is everywhere. Exodus 7:20-24, all the waters that were in the river turned to blood, and all the Egyptians digged around the river for water to drink, for they could not drink the water of the river. Papyrus 2:10, men shrank from tasting, human beings, and thirst after water. Papyrus 3:10-13, that is our water, that is our happiness. What shall we do in respect thereof? All is ruin. Now the plague of murrain. Quotes Exodus 9:3, where it is upon all the cattle and so forth. Papyrus 5:5 says, all animals, their hearts weep, cattle's mourn. Then it talks about the plague of the hail. After plagues of frogs, lice, flies, and the disease of murrain upon the cattle, God brought upon Egypt the destruction of a massive hailstorm which destroyed crops everywhere. This was also recorded. Notice, Exodus 9:25, and the hail struck or smote every herb of every tree of the field. The flax and barley were stricken. The barley was in the ear, the flax was in bloom or boil, and there remained not a green thing in the trees or in the herbs of the field throughout all the land of Egypt. Now notice the papyrus, 4:14, trees are destroyed. 6:1, no fruit or herbs are found. 2:10, forsooth, that is in truth, gates, columns, and walls are consumed by fire. So when there was the hail, it caught fire all the dry wood. Papyrus 10:3-6. Lower Egypt weeps. The entire palace is without its revenues. To it belong by right the wheat and barley and geese and fish. There are none. 6:3. Forsooth, grain is perished on every side. Forsooth. That has perished, which yesterday was seen. The land is left over to its weariness like the cutting of flax. So the last statement clearly shows these plagues on Egypt were not the consequence of long-lasting drought. Rather, it was a sudden onslaught of disaster virtually overnight. What was visible yesterday was perished today. The produce of Egypt was cut down like the cutting of flax, a sudden, incisive event. Plague of locusts. God says tomorrow he would bring them. Papyrus 6:1 says, no fruit or herbs are found, hunger. Plague of darkness. We just read that. Papyrus 9:11, the land has no light. This plague of darkness is further described in another ancient document, a black granite monolith or shrine at the border of Egypt inscribed with hieroglyphics all over its surface. The shrine's message declares, and the name of it is El Arish, the land is in great affliction. Evil fell on this earth. It was a great upheaval in the residence. Nobody left the palace during the 9 days or during those 9 days of upheaval. There was such a tempest that neither men nor the gods could see the face of those next to them, as it should read. With the plague of locusts covering the skies and earth preceding the darkness of 3 days, undoubtedly the Egyptians counted 9 days as a total length of time of impaired vision and light. Even the Jewish Midrash books explain that the plague lasted 7 days during the first 3 days, No one could still change his position, but during the next 3 days, three of the Bible, one could not stir from his place. So they had that darkness they could feel, and no one could leave. The final culminating plague upon ancient Egypt has not been fully understood. The last night before the Exodus, we know, says here the death angel, but it was the Lord, slew the firstborn of the Egyptians, but the Israelites who had the blood of the lamb over their doorpost were spared. Now let's notice the account more fully. It explains it, Exodus 12:29, God slew the firstborn of everyone. Exodus 12:30, there was a great cry. Now, let's read the papyrus. Papyrus 4:3 and 5:6. Forsooth, the children of princes are dashed against the wall. Now, they couldn't see. God probably had many angels in there doing this, not just a death angel. Picked them up, smashed them against the wall. Forsooth, the children of princes are cast into the street. The prison is ruined. He who places his brother in the ground is everywhere. In other words, they were trying to bury as many as they could. But imagine all these dead bodies. Imagine all of the stench and the rotting bodies and the flies and the vermins that would come in. I mean, this was an absolute calamity. Think of this now in a modern city if this would happen today. And all of the dead lying around like it was in Paris during the revolution. Rats had come up and there were rats all over eating human bodies because God always sends the animals in there to clean up all the rotting and dying and everything. So just imagine bodies everywhere. That's something. Papyrus 3:14. It is groaning that is throughout the land, mingled with lamentations. Question, what happened? The evidence indicates that during this final night of the Passover, a great earthquake struck Egypt, killing those God had marked for death all over the land, from the houses of the princes to those lying in the dungeons and even cattle. That should read livestock. The church historian Eusebius quotes an ancient source in the book of Artaphanes, which tells of hail and earthquake by night of the last plague, so that those who fled from the earthquake were killed by the hail, and those who sought shelter from the hail were destroyed by the earthquake. And at that time, all the houses fell in and most of the temples. Let's come here to Exodus 12 and verse 12, or verse 11. Exodus 12 and verse 11. And thus shall you eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in trepidation. Not haste, as the King James says, trepidation. Now you know why they ate it in trepidation with all these things going on? For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and I will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. So when it says, in most of the temples, you can be guaranteed that there wasn't one idol left standing. Now, continuing on in the papyrus account here. This must have been a massive earthquake. It must have been a forerunner of the final earthquake and hail, which will culminate the seven last plagues mentioned in the book of Revelation. Now, we'll get to that in a little bit. So the papyrus continues, 4:4 and 6:14. Forsooth, those who are in the place of embalmment are laid on the high ground. The legend of the Hadaka tells us that the last night when Egypt was smitten, the coffin of Joseph was found lying on the ground, lifted out of the graves, Earthquakes in modern times have been known to have similar effects, causing coffins to protrude from their graves in hillside cemeteries. I mean, this was a disaster unlike anything that we have ever known. And the lesson is, don't fool with God. Because he's going to judge you one way or the other. Now continuing on. God smote strong and weak alike, just as an earthquake would do. The Midrashim, and that is the different Midrashes, say that as many as 9/10 of the inhabitants have perished. Now we also find in the book of Amos that there shall be 1/10 of Israel which shall be left, and probably 1/10 of the earth when all the plagues in Revelation are done. So as we look down in time, we can see that these things are going to happen. All right, let's continue on. God judged ancient Egypt. If this judgment caused 9/10 of the population to perish, then indeed it was a type of the future destruction God will wreak upon this earth during these last days in our lifetime. In the future time of trouble, we find that only 1/10 of the population will survive, Isaiah 6:13, and same way we find there in Amos 4:11, only 10% of the population comprising the modern nation of Israel shall escape, Amos 5:3, and we can figure that this would apply to the Gentiles as well. Revolt of the slaves. The papyrus continues its amazing parallel with the book of Exodus as Israel prepares to leave. Let every man borrow, or that is demand, or ask of his neighbor, and every woman of her neighbor jewels of silver, jewels of gold. Papyrus 3:2-3. Gold and jewels are fashioned on the neck of female slaves. The Egyptians were urgent upon the people, Exodus 12:33. Papyrus 4:2. Forsooth, great and small say, I wish I may die. Papyrus 5:14. Would that there might have been an end of men, no conception, no birth. Oh, that the earth would cease from noise and tumult be no more. The papyrus describes men fleeing the cities in tents, even as Israel fled Egypt and abode in tents as they journeyed. Papyrus 10:2. Men flee. Tents are what they make, like the dwellers in the hills, because, you know, every time there's an earthquake and mass destruction, what do people do? Get out of the buildings. If there's anything standing, you don't want to be in the buildings because there may be aftershocks, and they tell you to stay outside. Then it talks about the mixed multitude and so forth. Let's come over here to Exodus 13:21. We're almost done with this, but I tell you, this is astonishing that all of this is in the papyrus, and God brought this back for us to have as a witness that there was those who recorded what had happened. Now, what does this do? This helps verify something, the principle of God, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses shall a thing be established. Now, there would be no need for a scribe to write in the papyrus here any of these things unless they had happened. That's why it's there, forsooth, truly. In other words, it's so fantastic. I want you to understand, in truth, it happened. Now, Exodus 13:21 on the papyrus paper here. The Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud and led them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. And he took not the pillar of cloud by day nor the fire of night away. Behold, fire is mounted up on high. Its burning goes forth against the enemies of the land. So they look up and see this big flame of fire, too, you know, right over the children of Israel gathering there in Ramses to go. But as Israel left Egypt with a high hand, what happened to Pharaoh? The papyrus only records that the Pharaoh was lost under unusual circumstances that have never happened before. And that means drowned in the Red Sea. The Egyptian eyewitness to the plagues lament his fate in the broken line which is still discernible. Weep, dash, dash, the earth is, dash, dash, on every side, weep. Probably the earth is destroyed on every side. After this destruction, chaos reigned in Egypt. There was no longer any authority in the land. Mob rule prevailed. Brigades and thugs seized what they could carry. Plunderers looted the royal storehouses. Now think what's going to happen if things really collapse economically, because it will one day in America, and what are they going to do with all of those who are in prison that they can't feed, that they can't clothe, that the guards will not guard them? They're going to take the keys, they're going to unlock them and tell them, get out. And there will be plundering bands of hardened criminals that will come and take everything that they can from anyone that they can, and they will kill and they will loot and they will rape and they will destroy and they will burn. That's what happened here. Yes, Papyrus 6:9. Forsooth, the laws of the judgment hall are cast forth, and that is away. Men walk upon them in the public places. The storehouse of the king is the common property of everyone. Sounds like riots around food stores, doesn't it? Yes. Papyrus 8:14, behold, the chiefs of the land flee. You bet they're going to get out of there quickly because they know what's going to happen. Papyrus 9:2, behold, no officers are in their right place like a frightened herdman without a herdsman, like a frightened herd without a herdsman, rather. Forsooth, public offices are opened and their census lists are taken away. Just everything, all records gone. Then it says, invaders appear on the horizon. The Hyksos attacked Egypt after their encounter with the Israelites in the desert, it says of Arabia, but it should be of Sinai. Egypt was helpless, prostrate before them. So now the invader comes in. Forsooth, the desert is throughout the land. Themanes is laid waste. A foreign tribe from abroad comes to Egypt. What has happened? Though it is to cause the Asiatics to know the condition of the land, Papyrus 14:11, men, they come to an end for themselves. I don't know if that means that they are committing suicide. There are none found to stand and protect themselves. Papyrus 12:6. Fear today more than a million of the people. Not seen. Enemies enter into the temples. Weep. So we don't know how many Egyptians were there, but if there were 6 million Israelites who left. I don't know how I figured it, but I calculated that there must have been between, I think it was 12 and 20 million Egyptians that they were serving. So 9/10 of them were dead. Now here's a further eyewitness, which is the Ameritage Papyrus, which is now preserved. This is the last page of the report here in the museum in Leningrad. This inscription also tells of the time when Egypt was exposed to some terrific catastrophe. One sees here again a reference to the situation that occurred at the time of Egypt. The inscription in part reads, the land is utterly perished, not remains, that means nothing. Perished is the land. the sun is veiled and shines not in the sight of men. None can live when the sun is veiled by clouds. The river is dry, even the river of Egypt. The earth is fallen into misery. Bedouins pervade the land, for the foes are in the east, that is, the foes from the east side of the rising of the sun, and Asiatics descend upon Egypt. The beast of the desert shall drink from the river of Egypt. The land shall be in putrefaction because of all of the rotting bodies. Just imagine, you know, just kind of take like the cities that were destroyed in Germany from all the bombing that the Allies did in Germany and the shelling and fighting that was going on when the Russians were coming into Berlin, and just strew that with corpses all the way through and look at that as what it may have been. Now, there's just a couple of more comments here. Evidently, the darkness of the ninth plague was a phenomena which continued intermittently. Oh, I left some out here. Let's come back up to the next paragraph. I show you the land upside down. Happened that which never yet had happened. Men laugh with the laughter of pain. There is none who weeps because of death. None knows that midday is there. His sun's shadow is not discerned. So he says, evidently the darkness of the ninth plague was a phenomenon which continued intermittently and locally throughout the experience of the Exodus and afterwards as reflected in the Ameritage papyrus inscription and in the statements of Exodus. The Lord went before them by day, pillar and so forth, so that ends it. So that's something. Now, I think it's important for us to have these things and to understand that there is another witness of the truth of God that these things did take place. Now let's come to the book of Revelation and let's take a look at what is going to happen here in the near future. Before we get the book of Revelation, let's go to Isaiah 13. Because I want to bring out how that there is going to be earthquakes, many, many earthquakes that are going to take place and what God is going to do. Now, as we read this, let's understand, because the events that are going to happen to the earth and the heavens, because God says he's going to shake the heavens, shake the earth. Therefore, no man knows the exact day when Jesus is going to return, because he can't figure the days. And there's the rising of the sun, the setting of the sun, the earth turning on its axis, how it sits in its orbit around the sun are all going to be affected. So let's pick it up here, Isaiah 13. And verse 9. No, verse 6. Howl ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty, just like it did upon Egypt. Therefore all hands shall be faint, every man's heart shall melt, just like described in the papyrus. They shall be afraid, pangs and sorrows shall take hold of them. They shall be in pain as a woman that travails. They shall be amazed one at another, and their faces shall be as flames or in wonderment. Behold, the day of the Lord comes cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the earth desolate, not just the land, but all the earth. And he shall destroy the sinners out of it. The stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in its going forth. The moon shall not cause her light to shine. And I will punish the world for their evil. And God says in another place, all you who desire the day of the Lord, why do you desire it? It's a day of cloudiness and gloominess, a day of destruction. It's going to come. And I tell you, the descriptions of the prophecies here tell us more what is actually going to happen than anything else. That's why the Bible is always up to date. As I have said, it is the only book in the world that tells you about eternity past, the plan of God, the history of man, and eternity into the future. And I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease, and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. Now you can read some more of that. Now let's come back here to Revelation, book of Revelation. Let's see where this is going to be fulfilled. Now Revelation, the sixth chapter, has the six seals in it. First five seals are men against men and war that men start. Beginning with the sixth seal is God's intervention. And here's what happens. Verse 12. When he opened the sixth seal, Revelation 6 and verse 12, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as a sackcloth of the hair of sackcloth, just like we read in Isaiah 13. And the moon became as blood. The stars of heaven fell to the earth as a fig tree cast its untimely figs when it's shaken by a mighty wind. Then the heavens departed like a scroll. This is going to be a mammoth thing. There's not going to be any such thing as a secret rapture. When Christ returns, this is going to be awesome. When he makes his presence known to this sinful world, it is going to be something. And notice what's going to happen. Every mountain and island was moved out of its place. Kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the chief captains, the powerful men, every bondman, every free man hid himself in the caves and the rocks of the mountains, and they said to the mountains and rocks, "Fall on us! Hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, because the great day of his wrath is come, and who has the power to stand?" It's going to be awesome. It's going to be breathtaking. Then when you come to chapter 8, let's come over here to chapter 8. As we're passing chapter 7, God spares Israel, an 144,000, great innumerable multitude, just like God spared Israel in Egypt. Then we find what happens. The same exact kind of plagues that you find in the book of Exodus. When the angel took the censer, verse 5, Revelation 8, filled it with fire from the altar, cast it into the earth, and there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. Then the seven angels began to sound with their seven trumpets. And what happened? Blood. Fire. All the green grass burned up, verse 7. Second angel blew his trumpet, cast into the sea as a great mountain burning with fire, and a third of the sea became blood. Third of the creatures in the sea died. Third of the ships were destroyed. Then the third angel sounded his trumpet. A great star fell out of heaven. And the star is named, verse 11, Wormwood. And the third of the waters became wormwood and died from drinking the waters because they were made bitter. Worse than the blood that was in Egypt. Then verse 12, the fourth angel sounded his trumpet. And a third of the moon, third of the stars, third of them were darkened, third part of the day did not shine, and likewise, and then the three woes that were to come. Then we have the locusts that come out of the pit, similar to the locusts that we had in Egypt, only this time now, these are demons coming to make war. Then we have these great armies clashing. We'll get into that as we get into the Feast of Trumpets and so forth. But let's come here to verse 21 of Revelation 9. Just like in Egypt. Did the Egyptians repent? Nope. They did not repent of their murders or of their sorceries, nor of their fornications, nor of their thievery. Quite a thing. Then the seven last plagues, a repeat only this time, complete worldwide destruction. That's why there's going to only be one-tenth of the people alive when Christ returns. And you find exactly the same thing that happens here, Now, whenever God has his angels intervene to do these things, we have blood, fire, and we have heat and darkness. All of those things are listed out here. Verse 2, we have, verse 2, the first angel poured out his vial. There's a mark of grievous sore upon the men that had the mark of the beast. Third angel, all the rivers became blood. Fourth angel, the heat of the earth was in heat of from the sun on the earth was increased to scorch men with the fire. Fifth angel, verse 10, darkness upon the kingdom of the beast, and they gnawed their teeth with pain, blaspheme God. Just like Pharaoh got his armies up, whatever there were, to come after the children of Israel, so the sixth angel, when he pours out his vial upon the river Euphrates, then unclean spirits are going to come out of the mouth of Satan, the dragon, out of the mouth of the, and they came out like frogs out of the beast and the false prophet, and they persuade all the armies of the world to come and fight against God. Revelation 16, I'm just giving it in a summary here. Okay, there's no other place where they would be but Revelation 16. Sorry about that, my fault. And finally, the last plague of hail, weighing 180 pounds apiece. Well, you're not going to be able to do too much against that. Maybe if you're in a tank, you may be spared if a hail hits that, but it's going to do in the tank. But I tell you, if you're standing out anywhere, you're going to get it. So anyway, the long and short of the whole story is this. Word of God is true. These plagues took place. We have historical evidence that they did for our overseas offices. Please check our website, www.cbcg.org.